Okay. Well, this last talk, he divided in two parts, because I won't yesterday, I have no time to explain enough information about numerical method. I try to decide to consider the first part of this talk to this point of view, and the second part to the very interesting problem that is to consider the BSD as an operator with respect to the terminal value. And this point of view corresponds to the very active area in research, and also is strongly related to the notion of dynamic risk measure and so on. And to do that, we want to split the information, but excuse me. I think that is very important to note this information, because in this website we can find global information, in particular on numerical method, and the presentation of Emmanuel is very, very complete presentation, very pedagogic. And yesterday we focused on the first step in analysis of simulation of backward stochastic differential equation. It's in fact not really simulation this BSD, because in general we assume that this BSD is associated with some Markov process, diffusion process, and so on. And in this case, we know that the solution is in fact a function of T and xt, and also that the Martingale part is generated by the gradient of u times the volatility matrix. And as we saw, we have two kinds of error. The first error is related to the discretization with some approximation of the function u. The other error is related to the approximation of the simulation xn, and by using, for example, Euler scheme, but this point is very important because it's a large source of error. And after that, we have some problem to calculate some conditional expectation. And we analyzed yesterday the error analysis. In this sense, we can explain that the different errors are driven by this kind of relation. And we have a strong error related to the strong approximation of xn. But for the approximation of the function, in some sense, we can only consider some weak error function. And in particular, this error is very dependent on the regularity of the terminal value that we have to estimate in this non-linear problem. And we can discuss of this point later. But sometimes you can use some result for PD to estimate this, some kind of the error, and also use different argument. And if you focus on, excuse me, on the error on the value Wells process or value pricing value of the BSD, that is on the Y process. Well, that is the same thing. Sorry. Bon, and what we can use, I just define the notation. We use discretization in time, and this discretization is not necessarily uniform discretization, but we characterize the large path of discretization by pi, and we with this classical notation. And the main point is to make this heuristic derivation to understand how to calculate or simulate different approximations. And the first step is to make some discretization in the value of the solution of the BSD and use this representation. That is, if you consider the variation of the BSD between ty and ty plus 1, where this time is very small, then we can estimate yt by the expectation given ft of the value of the BSD at time ty plus 1 plus the expectation of this quantity. But because the lines at this interval is very small, we can use a different approximation to estimate the integral in this case. And but the more important things, because we need to know Z for the next step of the algorithm, the more important thing is to calculate the estimate of Z, and in particular, to estimate the variation of Z between Ty and Ty plus 1, in fact, the integral of this quantity. We use that because Z is a coefficient of this stochastic integral. We can test this martingale against the variation of the Brownian motion. And Y can be expressed as the conditional expectation. And by doing that, we cannot express Z exactly as a conditional expectation, but we have this kind of approximation. And based on this heuristic derivation, we can propose some discrete backward iteration, calculate Z and Ty as the excuse me. If you make some approximation in F, F is depending on S, XS, YS, and ZS. Okay? But we can think that this integral may be approximated by the classical way, but the value of this process at time t, ty, and take the variation of this integral. But in this case, because fs, fty, xy, y, z is fty measurable, the integral against the Brownian motion is equal to zero. And by using this approximation, we have this algorithm. We can calculate Zn as the conditional expectation of the product of Y again the variation of the Brownian motion on the small interval, and Yn as the conditional expectation of the same things by using this variation for the delta Ty times this representation in this case. And this kind of scheme is an explicit is of explicit time. That is because Zn is given at time t plus 1, Yn is known at time ty plus 1, and so we can calculate this one explicitly. And the main point in the different representation is that we have to take conditional expectation, and that is some difficulties, but we have some comment about this representation. And but well, in general, if the distribution of the underlying is very regular, this explicit scheme is very efficient, and in particular because it's very easy to implement. And we can also use implicit scheme, but that is more closely related to the discrete BD, for example, as related to the binomial tree and so on. And we can try to solve this parameter as the implicit solution of some minimization program that is of the projection, in some sense, of a Y capital N Ty plus 1 minus the variation of this coefficient inter the integral, again, two variables, Y and Z, and Z is take again the variation of the Brownian motion. And this implicit scheme may be more stable, but more complicated to calculate it, and depending of the complexity of the problem that you have to solve. But in general, it's very interesting also. And to calculate this one, it's useful to use a Picard iteration procedure to calculate Y capital N T Y, as we show as before in the construction of the solution directly by fixed point theory. And now we can study the can define the measure of the square error, and the square error is driven by the maximum of the error approximation for the value of the BSD, driven by this quantity. And for the Z approximation, we have this measure for the error. And for a Lipschitz driver, and that is with some regularity in time, one half order with respect to t, we can have some global estimate using this terminal value of approximation of the terminal value of the value of the BSD related only depending only of the discretization of the underlying diffusion. And this point is also strongly dependent on the discretization of the diffusion. And we have also to estimate this quantity. And in that follow, we define Z bar T as the conditional expectation of the mean of Z during this period normalized by T1. And well, we have the analysis of the different strides of approximation. We can have strong approximation for the forward SD. That is the comment that we make at the beginning. Well, we can also have some good approximation for the terminal condition, depending on the forward scheme and the BSD data, that is strongly depending on the regularity, in particular in finance. We are often interested by indicator function and so on, and to have to specify the L2 regularity of Z. But the first point is a classical point, known for a long time in the simulation, forward simulation of the diffusion process, as we know that in general, the quality of the approximation is related to the time step and is n power minus 1 of alpha. But if sigma is more regular, we can use the Milstein scheme to obtain the best approximation. But there is no very new thing in this area. After that, to discuss of the quality of the approximation related to the assumption of the terminal value of phi, we know, but that is not related to the particular BSD point of view. We can have some control of this error, quadratic error of this one, as related to this approximation if phi is Lipschitz. But there is a lot of discussion about the regularity of this approximation when phi is irregular, and Emmanuel Gobet work with Avikainen and so on for give the best approximation in this case, in particular to control the error in time in this approximation when time is very small. And in particular, there is some result for some kind of function, and that is not so easy and so on. And they choose approximation theory of the function to obtain this one. And also, it's possible to have some good control if the function has a bounded variation, but for intermediate regularity, a lot of open question is still open, but this question is not, in fact, strongly related to the BSD point of view, because it's a more classical question related to the discretization of the diffusion in this case. More complex is the control of the error of related to the Mart angle part of the quadratic part in some sense in the representation of the BZ, the variation quadratic of the Mart angle. And there is a very interesting result of Ma Zhang from 2002-2004, that is a PhD thesis of Zhang, and he obtained some kind of result. If F, the driver, is Lipschitz, if you have Lipschitz terminal condition, then we can show that Z in the decomposition of the BSD is a continuous process, and also we can show that this error goes to zero as with the size of the discretization. And in this case, there is no ellipticity assumption that is essentially driven by the approximation of the diffusion and so on. But we can to estimate to precise this kind of result, we can try to have more direct information about this parameter Z, this vector Z, and in particular by using Malievin calculus we can represent Z as the solution of some linear BSD. That is related to the fact, in fact, that is when we have some regular BSD, if you make the derivatives of this BSD with respect to some parameter, in some sense, the derivative is still solution of the BSD. But in this case, it's not a classical derivative that we have to take, because in fact, we have to calculate the sensitivity of the solution with respect to the perturbation of the Brownian motion, and the good tool is the Malievin calculus. Alors, I only give some heuristic consideration. The first result to make this calculation, this simulation by using Malievin calculus in the solution of the BSD was given by Nizar and Bruno Bouchard in 2004, too, I don't know. And, the idea is essentially to say that Z is a measure in some sense of the sensitivity of the solution with respect to some perturbation of the Brownian motion. And the idea is to calculate some derivatives of some random variable depending on the path of the old path of the Brownian motion with some perturbation of the Brownian motion. And this derivative is known as the Malievin derivative of this random variable. Obviously, we cannot derive any random variable as we have to add additional assumptions to be sure that we can make these derivatives. And the second point is that we have to give a sense in which sense we take these derivatives. But the idea is the following. And we have a if psi is a stochastic integral with respect to the Brownian motion, because we want to make some measure of the perturbation, the sensitivity of this random variable to the small perturbation of the Brownian motion, a natural candidate to be the derivative in this case is to consider Ht, the coefficient of in the stochastic integral, but obviously take for t smaller than capital T. That is the first intuition in this case, that is the sensitivity to the increment of the Brownian motion is more important than the perturbation that can be due to the variation of Ht. And that is the first point. But we are in fact interested on the sensitivity or more complicated random variable, because it's a sensitivity of y with respect to the small variation of dWt, and this one is not enough to give the solution. That after that, there is a lot of paper, and because the theory is not so trivial, about the Malievin derivatives, and I don't give a course about this aspect. That is, bon, if you want to have more information, we can read the slide presented by Emmanuel in the summer school, but also make reference to some classical presentation of the Malinowski calculus and application to numerical methods in finance, but in general, that is a way to calculate the coefficient of the stochastic integral of some semi-martingale in some sense, and there's a book to use some, I can give it, you some reference. But the theorem proved by Ma and other people is said that you consider the also I think we studied in the paper with Peng and Kenneth, if you consider the solution of the BD between some intervals theta, t, theta, if you want are interested to the derivative, the Malleable derivative of yt at time theta, in fact, this derivative is solution of the linear equation, and we can formally take the derivatives of all different terms in this representation and obtain formally this dynamics. This dynamics is depending of the Malleable derivative of y, the Malleable derivative of x capital T, the Malleable derivative of z, but because we have this representation, z may be considered as the Malleable derivative of z may be considered comme the parameter of the solution of the BDE where the terminal value is given by this one. And we do not have to calculate explicitly this Malleable derivative to calculate the Malleable derivative of the solution because we can take that this one is a conditional expectation of the different terms given by this representation. And z in this case is given I, the parameter of the solution of the BZ, that is, we solve Malleable derivative y, the d theta z, that is a par for the solution, resolve this linear BZ, and take this one as condition, and we have the derivatives of the Malleable derivative at time theta of yt. And in fact, we are interested by the derivatives, Malleable derivatives of y as time theta take at the same time, that is, in some sense, in the diagonal representation. And using that, it's possible to give an explicit representation of the linear BD in this way, and to have an explicit representation as conditional expectation also for z in this form. Well, the explicit form is not very important for today, but for the application it's very important. And using that, we can show that in fact z is expressed as some conditional expectation as by using the BSD depending of the absolute continuous part in dt, and this part is easy to control, but we have some problem with the martingale part for z related to this one, and we can have some control of this error related to the size of the discretization time and the variation of the square, the quadratic variation in some sense of m. But it's not very simple to obtain. And there is a lot of development in this direction, and we can efficiently discuss with Nizar for the different papers in this representation. A lot of other methods may be used, depending of what is very important in the studies, for example, the irregularity of the function phi, it's possible to in place to give complete control of the error to try to give some error expansion with respect of this different parameter, and that is the work with the Gobel-Abbard, for example. We can also use the approximation by the Picard iteration to obtain some particular good approximation, but all this situation is depending of some condition of the coefficient or the regularity of the terminal function of the one, and the technique are often to use similar problem as adaptive control variate, because in this case this technique is depending of the function that we have to approximate. And for example, in people in the bank does not know appreciate the technique of adaptive control variate, because in general they prefer to have a global method that not depend on the particular form of the payoff that you have to evaluate. And in some case, this method may be more efficient than the classical method related to the dynamic programming equation, that is by taking the conditional expectation. And bon, sometimes, and just I want, but because I have a very short time, but in fact the second point in particular in the dynamic programming point of view, when we make when we take the conditional expectation, is to have a good method to calculate this conditional expectation. And we can use different point of view. The more classical point of view, in some sense, is to consider the conditional expectation as a projection operator in L2 and to calculate some approximation of y by some function of x if you want to project on, for example, the value of the underlying at time capital T. And but this least square problem, classical least square problem, but what is the efficiency in the global problem that we can have? The problem after that is to simulate the random variable mx that you can use in the approximation. And but it's not still necessary to know exactly this one, but only the law of this random variable. And but we have to calculate the regression function f, and we don't know calculate this global approximation directly, but by use of some regression of some good function well adapted to the problem that we have to consider, because in general we have a big problem related to the dimension of the space generated by x, and we cannot solve the problem easily. And the problem is to estimate how many regression functions we have to compute is important. That is this one at each step of the algorithm. The question is okay, we have to calculate this function when we know the value of x ty as equal to x, but how many point x we have to test to calculate to that we have to need to calculate this approximation. The problem is obviously potentially a lot. And the question of the accuracy and the computational cost is obviously the main problem in this case. But in the Markovian setting, that we can try to use some information related to the distribution of x pi plus 1 given x pi 1 with kernel of given this representation. We can calculate this regression function by using some simulation for independent parts starting from x t y, but that is takes some time, is depending on the information that you want to do that. And but we have a very large complexity because this technique expression may grow in tree, and the problem is how to put one trend on the complexity. In the one-dimensional case with the Brownian motion, we can use Bernoulli random walk, and this Bernoulli tree is a good tree because it's recombinating and the complexity is not too large. But in general, we have to solve also this problem. Bon, alors, I think that I have no time to develop this particular aspect, and I propose that we have a more precise information given in the slide of Emmanuel. Because I want to move to completely different point of view, that is to come back to a more abstract BSD and to consider this BSD as an operator related to the terminal value of this BSD. And to motivate this point of view, well, I want to just recall some axiomatic definition of a lot of quantities that is studies in finance, in general related to the notion of risk measure, and in particular there is a lot of development related to the calculation of imposed by the regulator as the value at risk, conditional value at risk, and so on. And Delbaen, Hébert Delbaen, and other people have discussed, for example, the properties of the VAR or the risk measure, and in particular observe that the value at risk is not a convex risk measure, that is not very reasonable, because we can make some arbitrage by using convex portfolio in this case. And on the impulsion of the practical problem, there is a large reflection in the academic world, in particular in Germany, because the role played by Vollmer, Schied, the book of Vollmer, Schied, about the, in general, the convex risk measure. And that is a general definition of what are the good properties of some functional if you want to measure in some sense the risk. But the point of view is not a general risk measure, but more a risk measure for the regulator and related to some capital requirement and some decision decisions. And so the definition is related, is given by this representation. We have a space X, in this case, is a linear space of the bounded function. And the first motivation to do that is, in fact, that in the general definition of risk measure, Vollmer in particular does not introduce some reference to some probability space with given probability, because it's difficult to identify this probability in general, and it tries to define very general notion of a convex risk measure. And the same main properties are very natural, that is the convexity. Decreasing monotonicity, that is because we want to measure the risk and not the value of some things. And the main assumption is this translation invariance. That is, this risk measure has a property of, if you add some cash to the risky position, the value of this risk measure is equal to the risky position minus the cash that you have to add. In other words, if you consider the risky position plus, and if you add the risk measure to this risky position, that is cash, then the new position is equal to zero, the risk of the new position is equal to zero. That is the motivation, in fact, for this translation invariance, because rho x is in some sense the minimal requirement that you have to add to the position to make x acceptable in the sense of this risk measure. Okay? And in fact, the dual representation of this convexness measure, alors I recall that we have a convex functional on the set of the bounded function, a random variable in some sense, that is not very regular because we have not probability of reference in this space, but we can obtain, because of this cache additive property, some dual representation. Is this dual representation is very important in the second of the talk. That is rho, maybe we have a good interpretation of the risk measure of some risky position as the supremum of this quantity. What is the supremum? Well, because we have no regularity, we have to take the, in some sense, the expectation with respect not with some sigma additive measure, but only on additive measure. That is a big problem in this representation, but for the intuition, it's not very important. And what is this quantity? The risk quantity is to estimate the risk with, for the risky position, that is, we calculate some cache that we can the opposite of the risky position, and we take the mean value of this risk, in some sense, with respect of some family of probability measure, not really probability measure, but very similar, and but we add some penalty function to this representation, and this penalty function try to explain what is the interest to use this probability measure to estimate this risk. And if some probability measure seem not very realistic, for example, we can put a lot of alpha. In this case, it's not very important because if alpha is very big, because we take the supremum, minus alpha, alpha is big, positive, minus alpha is negative, there's no influence in this representation. And because we have a good space, this space is the dual of the bounded random variable, we have the dual representation for the penalty, the dual representation is given exactly in the similar way, but in this case we take the supremum over all bounded positions, minus the risk premium in this case. And in this very large space, the supremum is still attained in the first equation. Mm? In the second equation, it's not so clear. And in some sense, there is still an given a risky position, there is still some optimal risk measure in some sense that we have to use to measure the risk, but that is not the risk, directly the risk, the mean of the risk with respect to this probability, finite additive measure, but the risk minus some penalty relative to the quality of the risk measure that we have to take. But if you assume that in your space we have some probability measure, if you have some probability measure, in particular, we know the family of a negligible space set in this space, and we can use this one, use exactly the same definition, and but add some regularity assumption to obtain that, in fact, in this representation, we can have exactly the same duality representation, but we have to add some continuity assumption from above or from below, it's depending on the we have to consider. And this that is natural because we have to pass to the additive measure, to the sigma additive measure, and to do that if we have some regularity assumption necessary. But if not, we have exactly the same representation, and the risk measure is said to be coherent if rho alpha x is equal to alpha rho x. And in this case, the penalty function is equal to zero or plus infinity P, and in this case, the risk measure is only the supremum on the class of probability measure of the expectation of minus of psi. In some sense, we have some robust measure of the risk that we define the family of probabilities that we want to use to estimate your risk and take the worst case scenario. And a classical example is obviously the global worst case scenario. Take the maximum of the minus psi in this case, but this anthropic risk measure also play a very has a very large place in the reflection on this risk measure, because the dynamic of the anthropic risk measure is easy to calculate. And also, for example, for the problem of indifference pricing and so on, because it's easy to make some calculation, and also because this anthropic risk measure is defined for all random variables and not only for positive random variables as power utility, for example. And this anthropic risk measure has it's obviously a convex risk measure, convex decreasing, and has all good properties. And the dual representation is very interesting, because we know that this quantity is related to the entropy of the measure with respect to the probability T. That is the gamma, donc the dual representation of this convex functional, is driven by the supremum over a family of probability measure absolutely continuous with respect to P, and that is still the same representation. But the penalty function in this case is easy to calculate, because that is the reason that we know this risk measure as the anthropic risk measure, because that is the entropy of the probability measure that we use to estimate the risk with respect to the initial probability, as this entropy is given by the expectation with respect to the new probability of the logarithm of the density of Q with respect to P. And the entropy play a very important role in information theory, statistics, and so on. And in this representation, for example, gamma is called the risk tolerance coefficient. And if gamma is very big, we are very risk tolerant. If gamma is very small, we are very risk adverse. That it's some motivation to, after that, to consider the same kind of operator, but in the dynamic point of view. And we want to generalize, for example, this example of classical risk measure to the more dynamic point of view. But more generally, we are concerned by that we can know the dynamic operator. And this dynamic operator is, when we are concerned by the BD, in fact, define of the Hilbert space of L2 of capital T, and so on. And when we are more concerned by, for example, risk measure, but we have no time to develop this aspect today, we are more concerned by, in fact, the L-infini random variable, bounded random variable. And what is the definition of the dynamic operator? That is a family of, in our problem of continuous semi-martingale, in particular if FT is a Brownian filtration, that map for any bounded stopping time. Alors, the use of stopping time is sometimes very interesting, because we have not, when we have some good properties along the family of stopping time, we have not to verify that some operators are continuous or regular, but we can test this property only on the expectation of the operator with respect to this to the family of stopping time. It's very easy, very easier in general. And what is the dynamic operator? We use any random variable in this space, but for any stopping time, and we associate to this random variable a dynamic process yt parametered by this terminal value for t between 0 and capital T. And this process is a good semi-martingale, and in general we can assume that because the operator is continuous, that the supremum is square integrated. And obviously the typical example, not the typical example, an example that is important for us in this presentation is to consider the solution of some BDE as a dynamic operator. And given a terminal value psi, we associate the BDE when if G is with linear growth, but also Lipschitz, to have a good correspondence between, for example, the terminal value in L2 and the fact that this process belongs to A2. And what I move from F to J, that is because Professor Peng, I don't know, 10 years ago, knows this operator, calls this operator the J expectation. And after that, when we adopt the dynamic point of view, we use this notation. But that is only to define what is a dynamic operator, but what is important is to have some intuition about the properties of this dynamic operator. And of the classical convex risk measure, we are concerned eventually by the monotony and by the different properties of this operator as function of the value of xi capital T. And also what is important in this definition, that in general when we solve the classical BDE, we fix the maturity, we fix or not, maybe we can change the terminal value, but we are not very concerned by the dependence between y with respect to xi, only for the calculation and so on, but not for the good properties of y. In this case, it's completely different because we are essentially concerned by the behavior of this operator with respect of the terminal value in some sense. And we define as for the classical convex risk measure, we define we give the definition of some property for the dynamic operator, and in particular, we say that some dynamic operator is constant preserving. Alors, I recall that in fact we try to express some properties of, for par exemple, G conditional expectation. And the first point is obviously if you consider this operator test again random variable that is FS measurable, that is with the same date, this operator has to be equal to X. That is a constant preserved. Also, there is some 0-1 law that we can say that if you consider the operator only on some set, that is depending on FS, okay, then the value of the operator take on this set is exactly the same value of the operator take on the value of the xi capital T restricted to the set. But if you have not some homogeneity properties, we have to add also this indicator before this relation. That if you restrict your attention to some FS set, then that is exactly the thing to only evaluate the value xi t on this set. That is the 0-1 law. And also, we can define the monotonicity. For example, you see that the operator is increasing. That is, if CY is bigger than C2, we have the same properties for the value of the operator as for any stopping time, grand S, capital S, between 0 and capital T. And that is more interesting, and we, when we make the comparison theorem in the first talk, in the first lecture, we observe that, obviously, for example, the BZ, if you have this inequality of the terminal value in some sense, and if you know that at some time, stopping time, capital S, we know that the value, for example, of the BZ is equal for Xi1, is equal to the value of the BZ of this operator to, with respect to Xi2 on this set, then, for Xi Y capital T is equal to Xi 2 T. And if we have equality at time S, after that we have equality at any time for S capital T bigger than S. Obviously, if you know that we have this inequality a priori. And, bon, the more important properties in this representation is that that is called that the time consistency in general, that if you have a dynamic operator, if, I'm sorry, that is a mistake. If you have a dynamic operator, if you calculate the value at time S of some random variable take at time U, and if T is bigger, is between S and capital U, we have this coherence property, that is the value of YS is equal to the value of YT of Xi2, and the composition ring. That is, for example, the main argument to calculate some price in the market, for example, and but that is, in general, when we make some optimization problems, that we call that the principle of dynamic programming. But we can add some additional properties, that is, for example, convexity, positive homogeneous, translation invariance, and all these assumptions are, in some sense, motivated by the formulation of the dynamic rich measure, but in the dynamic rich measure in general, the operator is decreasing, but if not, he has to satisfy this one, and sometimes this one. And the convexity is given by this one, etc. And what we can say about the J, this conditional expectation, that is the dynamic operator related to the BZD, that we know that all these properties are the still true for this dynamic operator, and we have shown essentially all these properties. And the additional properties are convexity, positive homogeneity, translation invariance, are not true in general, but we can express in terms of the coefficient some condition to be sure that the dynamic operator YJ is convex, for example. And it's not difficult, it's just the comparison theorem to show that if J is convex, then YJ is convex. If J does not depend on Y, YG is a translation invariant, and that is very important because all convex rich measures, that is a translation invariant, are characterized when there are related to the BZ with a coefficient that does not depend on Y. And bon, the intuition to do that is that, in fact, to be translation invariant, it's necessary to does not have some by some discount effect, for example, on the cache at maturity. And if G depends on Y, we cannot satisfy this assumption. And I want to study more particularly the case of the coefficient is convex, and as is in the representation of sole measure of the convex ridge measure, we can say that in particular case for this particular operator, conditional operator, we can have a dual representation of the BSD in terms of take the expectation, calculate some penalty function, and so on. But to do that is more easy than in the abstract case, because in the case of VD, the convexity is driven by the coefficient. And the coefficient is a function of y and z on vector space. And we can use the result of the convex functional to, convex function to deduce some result of a convex function. And that is, for example, the BSD is very useful in this case. And to do that, the penalty function is associated to the Fenchel, the polar process, or the Fenchel, the polar function associated via the Fenchel transformation of this convex measure, of this convex coefficient. And we take the minimum of this quantity, that the parameter y is one-dimensional, z is n-dimensional, that is the dimension of the Brownian motion. And in the dual space, you have to define delta in dimension y, nu in dimension n, and we have this representation. And the, in general, when the definition of the g expectation of in general, the coefficient is defined for any x and z. But when we take the polar process, capital G, G can be not defined at for any value of delta and nu, and we have to define the effective domain of G by this definition, that is the value of the parameter where G is bigger than minus infinity. But if you only consider in the BSD case the case where G has a linear growth, it's easy to test that by duality or by the Fenchel transform, in fact, the effective domain of the G is included in this bounded domain. That is, if you assume that we have dominated by A absolute value of y plus mu absolute value of z, we have this representation. And the good news is that this domain is compact, except in general, we can say that the maximum in this dual representation, that is representation in G in terms of capital G, is in fact attained. And that obviously, excuse me, in this representation, the coefficient G D delta Z is in fact a linear coefficient, it's linear with respect to delta and G. No, excuse me. If you consider this one, we take the supremum of this quantity. This quantity, in fact, is linear with respect to X and Z. Okay, and we have some penalty function in this representation. And so we can write this generator as a supremum of linear generator. And that is good news because we know to solve the linear representation, the solution of the linear BSD, we studied by using the Hadron process and so on. And by using that, it's not difficult to show that the solution that may be arrived at the expectation, the maximum of the conditional expectation of the terminal value test against the Hadron process. And also, this function is the penalty function. And why we have gamma and not a charge of probability measure, that is only because we have the function is depending of y and z, but if the function is only depending of z, that is if you have a cache invariance property, in this case delta is equal to zero, and in fact this representation is similar to take the conditional expectation of the terminal value minus the expectation of the penalty function, the integral between T and capital T, with respect to the family of probability. And also because nu is bounded, we have no difficulties to take the exponential of this one because it's very regular change of probability measure. And we can observe that this linear growth condition. In fact, it's very regular in terms of duality. That is the reason of anything works very well in this case. But I want to give two remarks that is with some interest. Why the Professor Peng call this dynamic operator G expectation, excuse me. Some explanation maybe what is the relation with linear expectation, but I try to give some intuition about that by introducing the notion of G submartingale. We start with a continuous semi-martingale X, we uniformly square integrable, and we say that this process is a G submartingale if for any stop in time, for example, exactly as in the classical theory, we know that the value at time S of XS is smaller than the G expectation of X capital T time at time S. That is the definition. And we have a double Meyer decomposition in this case. That is, we can characterize, in fact, the family of the set of process by observe this point. That is, in fact, we can express the dynamic of X in terms of the coefficient G, and also in terms of some increasing process K, that is the double Meyer decomposition, with this equality. That is, there exists Z and K. Bon, for the double Meyer decomposition, in this case, you cannot only characterize by the existence of K, but we have to add, because we are a backward point of view, we still have to add some martingale in some sense, but we have still this representation. And the proof to that is very easy. It justifies that I discussed yesterday of the reflected BSD, because the idea is okay. In fact, I have some properties of the BSD, take at time capital T, with respect to XS. And to have the property of X, I can consider the reflected BSD where the obstacle is X. Okay? In this case, I can construct the minimal, in some sense, BSD, so that the solution is still bigger than X, and the condition in general of the increasing process is related to the choice of the minimum. But it's not difficult to show that if you call this reflected BSD, that the reflected BSD is an example of G submartingale, and that is, if you have another submartingale that dominating S, that also dominating this reflected BSD. That is very similar with the definition of the Snell envelope in the classical case, because we know that any supermartingale that dominates the obstacle dominates the Snell envelope. That is exactly the same property. But we have this inequality, and to do that, because why exactly the properties of the J supermartingale, why is smaller than why X is smaller than Y R X, and because this process is bigger than X, we have exactly this representation. And so the decomposition of Dun Meyer is in fact result directly from the characterization of the reflected BSD. But I stop my talk on this interesting result given by the Professor Peng and Cocaine Ali. That is, in fact, if the question is, in general, if you have a nonlinear evaluation, when this operator may be related to the BSD with a coefficient, with some coefficient, but in general, it's not so. But if you introduce this characteristic coefficient when we have a linear growth for the solution, and if you introduce the second one is more important, some dominating relation between X and Y, Y mu, that is the reference condition expectation. If you know that capital X of psi capital T minus capital F of psi minus eta T is smaller than the reference conditional expectation take at the difference between this one and this one, for any psi capital T, eta capital T, and so on, that is a in some sense strong dominating relation. If you have a good control of this dynamic operator, then there exists some standard coefficient. Standard is that this still dominated by this coefficient. We know that GT00 is equal to KT, and we have this representation theorem. That is, if a strong domination relation, we can say that a very general evaluation operator is effectively a dynamic measure. But I want just give to you some insight about this inequality, and we can, the condition that of the inequality may be rewrite in this way, because we start with eta t, test on the dominating J expectation, add this value, that is the definition, and because we still have some inequality, we can add the infimum, and because we can change the order in this representation, we have this identity in this representation. But what is this representation? We take some good operator, convex operator. This one we don't know what are the properties. Take the minimum over all family of eta t, and in this particular case, this minimum is equal to the initial dynamic operator. But this operation is a classical operation in convex analysis. It is known as the half convolution operator. And if you recall that yesterday, when we tried to regularize the sum function with only some continuous function with linear growth, we use very similar regularization by half convolution, but in this case, it was about only on function, but not on operator. But by using this half convolution, in fact, we construct a convex operator. And in fact, if you know some things about the dual representation of this convex operator, the duality is very, very simple, as that as for the convolution. And in fact, we know that the dual function of this one is in some sense the sum of the different penalty functions. That it explains partially why this condition is useful. That is, in fact, we have a regularization by the half convolution with the regularist measure, but it's not enough to prove the local character of the representation, and we have to work to give this aspect. And just a work about quadratic BD, because it's all a subject, in fact, in itself. But I start with quadratic BD because the dynamic version of the anthropic risk measure is in fact a quadratic BD, because the anthropic risk measure is, we take the conditional expectation of some exponential, and after that take the logarithm, and it's very easy to show that the dynamics very satisfies this equation. And this equation is a quadratic BD because we know the terminal value, but in place of to have a regular coefficient with linear growth, we have a coefficient with quadratic growth. And a lot of things are very different. And if xi t is bounded, we know, because we have the explicit solution, we know that the solution is given by the anthropic process and has good property, in particular is bounded and so on. If xi capital T is not bounded, then even in this case, very simple, we need to have some exponential moment to be sure that the conditional expectation of the exponential of the terminal value is finite. But in general, the first result for general BZ with the coefficient is dominated by a absolute value of y and the quadratic part was obtained by Gobielski in 2002 and with a Lipschitz coefficient and they only consider bounded solution and bounded terminal value. But in general, in this problem, the difficulty is to show the strong convergence of the not of the coefficient, but the strong convergence of the martingale part in this representation because it's difficult to have the control of the difference Zn minus Z square as in the classical case. And but recently, Tevadze, from Georgia, gave a direct proof that shows the properties of the BMO martingale, but that is too complicated to introduce today. But I just want to say that there is a lot of activities in this era related to the dynamitrice measure, to the representation, to the lot of problems, and maybe it's an era that will be interesting for you. Thank you for your attention.